So how's everyone doing?
Okay.
Let's have a check-in on our empath experiences during the week. Anything interesting?
I was in line at Trader Joe's. You know, in Cleveland here, there's like only one Trader Joe's or two Trader Joe's, so all these people wait in line. And I was standing behind these women that like came in from Columbus and all this, and this man came in, and he had like was this big man, and he had these like casts on his legs, and they had pus coming from them, and it was just like so awful. And this lady was like, "Oh, let's let us him cut in line." And I was like, "Of course." And I just like I felt so I kept on seeing him in the store, and I just felt so bad every time and to do something, and I wanted to help him with his cart, but I thought that I would be like insulting him as a per I don't know. I just got upset about it.
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. I mean, what did anything more happen?
No, I like almost went and helped him, but he was fine. Like he was completely fine. Like he had his car and he like was able to bring it back to his car. And so I didn't need to help him. So I didn't because I didn't want to insult him.
Also, you're not allowed to touch anything that anyone.
I know, I forgot about that part, I guess.
I know because I was standing in line at Trader Joe's a week ago in the same very spot that you were. And this elderly man, I mean, I'm elderly, what, I'm 69, but I mean, he must have been 95. He was like a stick of a man bent over with his cane. There were 20 of us standing in line. And the greeter at the beginning of the store said he had to go all the way to the end of the line.
What? Wow.
Yeah, and so
That was rude.
I know, and so I was probably th number three in line, and the three of us up front said, "Oh, let him in," you know. So then, throughout the store, I was feeling bad for him too, Sam.
Oh my
And I wanted to help him, and you know, he's So we had a similar experience. Okay, how about anyone else? What's happening? What are you noticing? What are you learning about your empathic nature?
Alana. I'm starting to catch myself when I've got my feelers open
Ooh.
to somebody else's energy. And it could be somebody that I'm listening to on the radio or on the news. And I've been catching myself going, "Oh, whose energy is that? That and I don't need to take that on."
Good for you.
Yeah, this is a big deal for me.
Yes. Has anyone else been noticing that with themselves?
Yes, this is Lisa. I have two. Same sort of thing. And just even having a conversation with my husband and telling him, "Your energy is yours, and your feelings, those are yours, and mine are mine, and I don't want yours anymore." And he's so funny. He looks at me, he's like, "Good, I don't want you to have them." But I felt so empowered and protected. And so, and then the same thing at work, you know, I've had, I think what's really been remarkable for me this week, you know, I own my own business, and with owning a business, there's a lot of conflict. Like it just happens. Like people get disgruntled. Like I had someone leave my studio because they had to wear a mask. Like, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry that upsets you, but yes, you have to." You know what I mean? So I have to
Especially
give.
yours is a gym type studio, right? Oh, whoa.
No, we're not. We're definitely a boutique. We're very boutique-y. And
Boutique-y
but
in
really,
what way?
it's well, first of all, it's incredibly zen. And we have like just the atmosphere is just very quiet and soothing. It's definitely zen. It's nothing like a gym. We do mainly one-on-one, and it's you know, like I do a lot of grounding with my clients, and someday I'll explain the whole thing to you. But anyway,
Okay, good.
yeah, someday, yeah. So whatever. So I had a couple of conflicts happen in my world, and in the past, I avoid them. And I get all icky feeling inside, like all of these icky feelings. And I'm like, are those their feelings? Are they my feelings? Like, whose feelings are there? But this week, it was very easy for me to respond, especially via email. Like, I didn't take on anyone else's stuff. I was just really clear. I was so grounded, and I felt like I could really respond from my true self. And this is like a first.
Oh yeah, I'm giving out lots of gold stars this week. Okay, you guys are all doing great. Oh, that's fantastic to hear.
I like how you said being grounded, because I also feel like I'm more grounded this week too. Like I'm more tired, but I'm more aware of that feeling of exhaustion and trying to be more aware of my thoughts. But the meditations really have been really helping. I've been feeling a lot more in tune spiritually and more aware of just myself, like physically as well as emotionally. And so it's been really good because I've been having just clear, more inspirational thoughts.
Well, aren't we having a good week? Wonderful. So, have you been doing the grounding meditations?
Yes.
Every day.
Okay, great. Okay, tonight I wanted to kind of flesh out more about the grounding meditation and why it's so important, especially for empaths, and do a deeper grounding here tonight. Anything else that we want to share?
This is Lisa. The other thing I've been working on is that snapshot that you
Yes.
talked about. And that is going well. I feel it's going well. The only thing I wasn't able to do this week was, find a friend who would help mirror me. And so that you remember that activity you said to. So I'm excited to do it. I just wound up. My husband had to make a trip, and then my best friend got married. So I'm,
You were a little busy.
yeah. And I, and then I broke my foot. I don't know.
Wait a minute. Wait a
Yeah.
minute. Wait a minute. You're supposed to lead with something like that. Oh, and by the way, I broke my foot. What the heck happened?
I'm really quite fortunate because this year with COVID, we were able to renovate our kitchen for almost nothing. And they moved the island 5 minutes or five, literally 5 inches east and 5 inches south from where it used to be. And I'm just so used to my kitchen the way it is. And I'm walking around and I just kicked the island. And one of my toes stayed, and the rest of my foot continued, and I broke a metatarsal. So fun.
That sounds painful.
I broke my metatarsal too a few years ago. I was dancing in my apartment. I did
Yay.
that.
That's
Yeah, I'm
awesome.
sorry to hear that. If you need any advice, let me know. I did that.
Yeah,
Yeah,
thank you.
sorry.
Yeah, every night before we fall asleep, my husband clears the pathway between the bed and the bathroom because I break so many toes. And the last thing he does every night is to make sure there's nothing in my way.
That's so sweet.
Oh, well, I'm really sorry. Are you in a boot or did they wrap it up or what?
Have a little, it's like a little sandal. And yeah, it's actually, I'm fine. It was super annoying and a little bit, it was humbling. Like, oh, okay. Very humbled. I'm like, okay, I guess. I actually think it's the universe protecting me, to be honest. I just feel that it's the way that my guides are saying, no, slow down. Stay over here because this is where you should be. Don't go over there.
Sure. Okay.
So,
Good.
yeah.
Okay, any other anything else to report?
Yes,
Okay.
I'm really liking this concept of defining myself as opposed to protecting myself.
Ah.
Because it reframes everything. Instead of defending against something negative, I am I'm having an intention about what it is that I want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's making it easier for me to articulate it in a calm manner. And even if I don't get it, the response I want from the other person, I feel empowered because I've spoken up and that I know what I want.
Oh my God, you guys are the perfect students this week. Oh my, I love hearing all this.
Aren't we growing?
Yes. I mean, you're getting it, and you're getting it really quickly, and I'm so thrilled. And did I mention about the second wave last week, the second wave of awakening for empaths? I can't remember if I said it in this class.
You did go into it, but not into a lot of depth.
Okay. Because you are examples of what I'm saying. Once we, you know, we had the first awakening, now we're in the second awakening, and the clearing is happening so much more quickly, and the ability to affirm yourself is happening more quickly. This could have taken 2 years a little while back. Okay, so it's just showing me that and I keep seeing this over and over that people are, it's not that long of a process any longer, whereas we were kind of in a slumber state for the last 10 years, just barely waking up and being on our back foot and insecure about who we were and what we're doing. And now it's like the second wave of awakening is happening, and empaths are really coming into their power. And it's happening very quickly. Sure.
So I have I've taken some classes from, she's a healing touch practitioner and a Reiki master. And so she's been teaching people for decades. Mm-hmm. And she is, like, in terms of energy work, she's saying the same thing that she's saying. When I was teaching people 20 years ago, for them to progress at the levels that of their skill sets and awareness, she says they're rapidly growing now, where they can progress much further than they did when I was teaching them 20 mm-hmm. years ago. And she's also noticing when she's clearing the energy in their fields that she's seeing they're more advanced, mm-hmm. even physically in their auras.
Yes, I agree with that too. Oh, that's nice to have that agreement and confirmation too. So it's really hopeful. This is wonderful.
Sarah, uh-huh. I'm sorry. I'm hearing you say that this is energy coming in. I've been noticing that I'm able to clear and process faster since maybe mm-hmm. middle of lockdown. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to, like, work as fast as I can because I'm afraid it's going to go away and I want to take advantage of it.
Well, the lockdown will eventually release, but the energy is going to keep coming this way. Okay.
Yay.
Okay. Yeah. We're being carried on a new wave of energy that is really high frequency. And you'll have to forgive me because I teach so many classes right now and I don't know what I've said in one. Did I mention about the Mayan calendar and the ninth wave in this class?
I know about it. I don't know if we've talked about it.
I don't think you did in this.
I don't think you have, no.
Okay, so Carl Johan Kalaman, have any of you heard of him? He's written on the Mayan calendar, and he wrote some significant books around 2012 and the changes that were happening in them. He's a PhD biologist, a scientist from Sweden who caught the Mayan calendar bug like 30 years ago, and he applied his scientific mind to researching this. And so he actually says that the 2012 date was not quite right, it was at the end of 2011. But he's written a book called The Ninth Wave. And I like his explanation because it makes sense of what I'm seeing in the world now. So the Mayan calendar sees cycles in terms of waves and days and nights. Okay. So what I would consider the first 10 years of empaths waking up would be a night. And this next cycle that is much brighter, quicker, lighter as being a day. That's what he means in terms of days and nights. Nights are more subconscious churning, waking up, starting to activate, and then the expression comes out in the day. So it's not like it's a negative. A nighttime is not a negative space. It's a gestating, awakening space. So he defines nine waves that the Mayan calendar describes. The first five are kind of pre-human, like just the evolution of the planet and all the growth and generation on the planet. And then he comes to like the wave 6, 7, 8. And those are the evolution of humankind and the different cycles and consciousness levels that humans are going through at that time. And 6, 7, 8 are pretty low frequency consciousness, you know, from the hunter-gatherers to the materialists. And where we are right now would be considered maybe the 7th and 8th cycle. So the 9th cycle is the movement and the manifestation of the unity consciousness, which is what we're feeling. What this high frequency energy coming in is equivalent to his 9th wave frequency. But he also says that during this period of time, the 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th wave are happening simultaneously, and that there's 4 distinct bandwidths of consciousness existing at the same time, and that humanity has different people fall into different waves of consciousness, and it makes for a very choppy sea to have these 4 waves simultaneously existing. He says eventually the 9th wave will take over and the other waves will quiet down. But he also said that during this transitional period, it's a very tumultuous period. He says it's a breeding ground for conspiracy theory, for all kinds of violence and chaos and people not understanding each other. And it's a very interesting theory. And so if you get a chance to Google him on YouTube, there's some really nice interviews with him. And if you haven't discovered it yet, on my website, there's an empath news and research page. Have you found it?
Yeah.
Okay. And there's, I think I have a link to an interview with him on that page. That has him explaining this really beautifully. Because when he speaks, he's extremely clear. He's very specific and clear about how he explains this, like a scientist would. But if you get a chance, listen to it, because it helps you understand what we're going through right now, which is not an easy time, but we are catching this 9th wave of high frequency consciousness. And so you wonder, like, how can I experience this great evolution of being while the rest of the world is pretty much a mess, and how do I deal with it? And so I believe that once you tune into this wave, you have to follow, you know, the high frequency wave. You can't split yourself between waves, and you can be supported like a good surfer by the high frequency wave as you tune into it. And so the grounding meditation that we do when we connect to Mother Earth connects us into the 9th wave. Now, why do I say that? The Earth has moved into a new section of the Milky Way where there are high frequency energies emanating and pulsing from the center of the Milky Way out to where we are in the Earth, in the Milky Way, in our galaxy. So if you look at space as having different pulses and energies and frequencies throughout space, and that we happen to be in a beam of higher frequency energy. So that when we're in this beam of higher frequency energy, humans have the capability of moving into their higher being, because it's that resonance factor. We start resonating with this higher frequency, and our higher being wakes up, our expanded perceptual abilities wake up, and we actually emerge as a different form of human being. But when we're in the darker pulses or frequencies where the planet is circulating through the Milky Way, we are also affected by that, so that the consciousness of humanity can be impacted by lower frequencies or higher frequencies. And we don't realize how humanity as a whole, how the planetary consciousness as a whole is dependent on a greater environment, a greater cosmic environment. That doesn't mean that during all these different phases and types of frequencies, there aren't people who become enlightened. But if you think back to it, until 15 years ago, we just thought special people got enlightened, right? Like the special gurus and spiritual teachers, and they were the ones, like the chosen ones. But today, we understand that everyone has this possibility. And that's the difference between the shifting of the planetary energies and what we're being influenced by, where we were just like 15, 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, I was sitting before a guru thinking, oh, you know, that guru has all the answers. And if I'm lucky, I'll get a few. Today, we know that everyone has this possibility. That's like a illustration of how much has shifted. But we have to understand that we're impacted by bigger forces, and that we're limited by bigger forces too. And we take it personally upon ourselves when we're in the darker phases to blame ourselves for all. Blame is even a function of the darker age, of the darker frequencies. Self-loathing, extremes and polarities are part of this darker influence, the lower frequency influence. And then as we move into these higher frequencies, people are liberating themselves from shame. They're liberating themselves from being bound by history, you know, and all their wounds. And you see how we are shifting. And again, it's not such a personal thing as a planetary influence and a cosmic influence. How did that land?
Great.
Good. I'm going to have to listen to this probably 3 more times to understand what you said, but that's exciting and kind of scary too.
I got the gist of it, but yeah, it's a lot to wrap your brain around.
Yeah. So the planet moves through the galaxy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But not only do we rotate around the sun, the galaxy rotates in itself, and we're rotating in the galaxy. And so when we rotate into a new frequency of the galaxy, that's we're actually dependent upon this planetary position in the galaxy.
Yeah, okay? We're spiraling. Right. Our galaxy, yeah, it's so cool.
Right, that spiritual spiral. So Sam's podcast is a spiritual spiral. Which,
yeah, that makes sense that I named it now. I knew something was happening. That was what I said, though.
Yep, and I will continue to be jealous of that name. Okay, so so again, we're affected by larger forces than we know. And I was going to say something and I lost my train of thought. Where was I?
We're spiraling in the universe and our planet is moving and we're getting frequencies coming in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, Earth. That's why. That's where I was going. Why grounding with the Earth puts us in touch with these higher frequencies? That's where I was going with all this. So it's the Earth that's being pulsed by these higher frequencies. So if we connect with the Earth, we connect directly into the frequencies that are reverberating through her.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You're it. I have a question about that. Uh-huh. So, like I have been doing grounding meditations, but if we do any meditations, does that still help us connect, or is it specifically really the grounding one? Because as you've explained, you're connecting to Mother Earth.
Right. So I would say that there's lots of great meditations. I would say that preparing for any meditation, it would be great to connect with the Earth first, with Mother Earth first. Then once you're settled down and your energy is flowing and you're clear, then go into your other meditations. I would consider it the foundation for being able to expand into any type of breath work, visualization, contemplation, any other type of meditation.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
Okay. And one of the reasons I say that is I can tend to get very overthinking in my meditations, and it can only take me so far. Like I get blocked by too much thinking. And so when I ground and my mind comes into balance with my body and my emotions and my heart, then I'm able to go more deeply into any type of meditation or contemplation. So it's a good prep. And once you get good at it, you'll be there in a few minutes. Any other questions about that? Okay, so when we connect with Mother Earth, and let's do it, we'll talk about it and do it at the same time. So everyone have their feet on the floor?
Yep.
Okay, so it's a greeting to Mother Earth. It's saying hi, it's recognizing that she's a living consciousness, I'm a living consciousness. It's like, hi, you know, I'm home. Nice to see you. It's not, I'm sticking my feet in the dirt. This is a living relationship. And so we sink down and our feet are the first thing to connect with the earth. So we want that awareness in the soles of our feet and allow the energy centers right in the middle of the foot to start waking up. And once they wake up, they know how to be connected to the earth. So it's not a mental thing. It's more of a felt sense and a tuning into the energy. There we go. Just sense that for a moment. Good. Can you feel the difference in our group right now with everyone doing that?
Yeah.
Everyone got it? So we all just came out of our minds and we just all connected to the same frequency. So it created a nice flow, a nice smoothness in the group. It's really fun and nice to ground with other people. Mm. Okay. And does everyone have some kind of sensation in their feet or awareness of the of the connection in their feet?
Yes.
I also feel more about a sense of serenity.
Yes.
Throughout my body.
Yes. That's why I'm saying that it's a good prep for any further meditation. And the serenity comes from the frequency of Mother Earth, the living Gaia, the living Mother, and us coming into relationship, what we would call right relationship, acknowledging that there's a living relationship that we have with the earth, that we're not just walking on a cement surface, but we're living within this consciousness. And so as you feel this, and as the energies exchange, from the indigenous point of view or the shamanic point of view, our heavy energies sink down and now they have a channel to sink into the earth, and she takes in our heavy energies the same way that the trees take in our carbon dioxide as their nourishment, and they give us oxygen, and she takes in our heavy energies and sends us back light energy that helps our body. So we're in a reciprocal flow, and you can see that as a spiraling flow, a figure eight flow, any way that feels reciprocal to you. So the energies, you go deep down into the earth, and they also start rising up. In that process, we start clearing any of our heavy history, any of our heavy thoughts. We get cleansed. It's a beautiful cleansing that includes the body. So right now you can notice that you're still in your body. You haven't left your body, right? You can still feel your feet. You can feel your seat. You know you're physically here and also aware of your energy. It's not an either or. Are you with me on this?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's a total awareness rather than a fragmented awareness. So we're not going into a meditation where we have to close our eyes and only feel energy and forget that we have a body. We're coming into a totality of awareness that's bringing us into harmony with ourselves. And I'll just be quiet for a moment so you can feel it. Now, this is the feminine approach. It's the earth-based, it's indigenous, earth connected approach. It's different than going upward first. Eventually, going down leads us upward, and we include both, like I said, the downward and the upward flow. But going down first ensures that we stay in our body, include our body in this experience. And so it's an embodied type of spirituality that lets our body know that we respect it, that it's part of our consciousness, and it helps cleanse any of those heavy energies that we pick up during the day that when we're empathically relating. I want you to sense how your energy field, your bubble, is expanding around you. A sphere of energy is expanding around you. Can you sense that?
Yeah.
Okay. And we're kind of inflating the bubble. We're energizing your whole field in a harmonious way. And you can feel yourself sinking inward a bit, more towards your heart or your belly, more towards the center of the sphere. Good. And now we're going to let the energy purify the entire sphere of your being. And while this is happening, I want you to sense the membrane of your sphere. Your sphere has a membrane that contains you. It's a sense of it. And this is your energetic boundary. Can some of you sense that membrane?
Yes.
So you can picture that Leonardo da Vinci picture of with his arms outstretched and his feet. This is your sphere. This is your energy sphere, made up of all the energy from the chakras. And it's your property. Your being, again, in its totality. Now, empaths are usually not aware of a boundary. And sensing that membrane, and it's a membrane, it's living, it's like a cell wall. It's intelligent, it knows what to let in, it knows what to let out. It knows how to bring in nourishment. It knows how to let out excrement, heavy energy. But this is an energetic experience that informs your being that you do have a boundary. And when you feel like you've lost your boundaries, remembering that you have this membrane is a place to help you anchor back into yourself. Just going to pause here and let that. And you can feel the sphere inflating. And that's inflating with the energy from Mother Earth and the heavenly energy. And you can feel how your sphere is getting brighter. And maybe even a smile is coming on you, within you, arising within you. Let the energy flow through your hands. Feet, and now we're going to allow the tailbone and lower back to soften and release. And the tailbone is just like a dog's tail. If we're afraid, it curls up and tightens underneath us. If we're happy, it wags. It's happy. And as we inflate the sphere and we start cleansing it, that the tailbone, which is where the root chakra is, finally starts to feel safe enough to let that tail come alive. And those of you who are familiar with cranial sacral work know that there's a pulse in the cranial sacral fluid and an etheric pulse in the spine that is actually pumped by the root chakra and the tailbone. And what it does is send a pulse all the way through the spine and the chakras to, again, integrate another level of your energy. So it's important that that tailbone be freed up and energetically enlivened for you to feel solid and connected and alive, vitally alive, in mind and body and spirit. Now, sometimes you'll feel like that tailbone is like a seahorse's tail, where it just gently uncurls and then curls very gently, like beautifully, elegantly, where you can feel a pulse, or you can just feel the whole pelvic floor kind of open up and the hips open up. And this is really an important aspect of your being and your body to reclaim. In our culture, there's all kinds of shame associated with going beneath the diaphragm. Sometimes even beneath the collarbone. And we are kept from the most powerful aspect, the most powerful energy in our embodied consciousness is in the root chakra. And that's where the Kundalini is, the feminine energy. The feminine wisdom that knows all, the creative force that is connected to original source and the source of life within us. There we go. Are some of you feeling the energy there? Now, sometimes this can be very scary to open this up. Is anyone getting triggered by it? Is everyone okay? Or if you are triggered, let me know.
I'm fine.
You're fine? Is everyone fine?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not, let me know, because I can help you with it. Can you sense how this is so important to reclaiming your power? Can you feel the strength and power that's happening as this is awakening mm-hmm. in your legs?
Yep.
Got it. I just want you to feel how strong and powerful your seat, upper legs, lower legs, and feet feel right now. How your breath is softening and lowering, how your belly and lower backs are softening. And there's no need to hold yourself tightly upward, just comfortable. Leaning back in your chair is just fine. You don't have to be in a perfectly upright position. If the energy starts to straighten up your body and align your body, then respond to it. That way the energy starts holding you up instead of you tightening your muscles to hold you up. Are some of you feeling that upward lift of the energy?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And the shoulders come down, your neck and head find a better position, being held up by the energy. And we're going to feel the navel area now, which is, you know, the Dantian in the Taoist system. It's the seat of the vital energy there. And that's around our second chakra. And this is where we hold a lot of emotion, a lot of anger, fear. We're allowing that to be bathed by this intelligent energy. And as that second chakra becomes activated and flowing and informed by this intelligent energy, the Kundalini, the Great Mother, the rest of the body again readjusts. And allow yourself to feel those readjustments. A shoulder might come down. There might be more space in your rib cage. Your back might feel more fluid. Your neck might stop hurting. Your cranial bones might release. And now you're being bathed from within by pure consciousness. And the fact that you can feel and sense this is because you are empathic, that you have this very subtle ability to perceive the subtle energies of your being. And you might feel the energy opening up at the heart and the front or the back. And it's moving up through you. And in its journey of moving through you from above and below, it knows exactly how to balance your energy, how to balance your subtle channels, and how to balance your emotions, your thoughts, and your energy. It's a very receptive, allowing type of work experience. And at some point, it will journey all the way up through your neck, through your head, through the crown. And you'll feel yourself situated within, comfortably. Now, I tell people if they fall asleep during this, go ahead and fall asleep. It'll be the most luxurious kind of rest that you can get. Don't worry about trying to stay alert. Sometimes you'll fall asleep just because your body needs a deep, deep rest. Sometimes the mind will quiet down and you'll feel or experience the language of your heart or intuition, and you'll feel like a different aspect of your being is communicating with you. Or you might fall into a dream or visionary state. All of that's good. Whatever happens, as long as you're relaxed and getting a really good rest and reconnection with your being. And you feel like you're inward, and that membrane of your sphere is the boundary that allows you to relax deeply into yourself, into your true being, into the light of your heart, and into the sacred domain of your being. I want you to notice that we have not lifted up and above us. We're within the sphere that includes the body. Now, it's the nervous system in an empath that gets overwhelmed. And that's why we're including the body and the nervous system in this type of meditation. So the nervous system has a chance to reorganize itself and reset itself according to your higher frequency and regenerate, renew. And you can remember this beautiful way of being within yourself. It's the place you can come back to when things are too much in the world. And it resets you, reminds you you have a boundary. It brings you back into an integrated whole state, while still being embodied. If there's any area of your body that's tense, unconsciously let it release now. Let yourself identify as an energetic being. you can feel the light coming in from above, showering you, the energy coming from below, and the great love that exists, that surrounds you. And you can allow your sphere to expand out as far as it wants to expand now that it's filling with this vital energy. And as the sphere expands, you'll notice different parts of your body starting to feel better or release. And it may release pain, it may release tension. Your body starts to align in a more natural way. You may release emotional feelings that were hanging on or heavy thoughts, but they start to dissipate as you fill more with this beautiful energy. Again, those thoughts, those feelings, pain are a function of the lower frequency or lack of energy. And this is filling up with quality energy. And I'd like you to bookmark this state. I'd like you to bookmark that you have a boundary, that you have vital energy, that you have expanded consciousness that's integrated, that your membrane is doing these, is being informed by the environment instead of you scanning the environment, and note how the energy is releasing you, aligning you in different places still. And let yourself take a little bit deeper breath. And we're going to stay in. You don't have to pop out right now. There's nothing you have to be aware of other than you. And I would like you to try speaking from this place within you. Maybe sharing something that you're experiencing and trying to stay inside and not popping out. So try to speak from an awareness with your feet on the floor of being within yourself and just share one little piece of insight or experience you've just had in this. This is to practice staying within as you speak.
This makes me feel like I'm not alone anymore. Oh. And I have help that's there all the time for me.
Mm-hmm. How did it feel to speak from within instead of popping out?
I feel softer and more receptive.
Okay, someone else?
I think for me, I feel just an overall loosening and lifting of heaviness in my body. I don't know why when I do meditations with you, I always feel a lot more energy coming through my calf area, mm-hmm. which means probably I'm picking up more grounding energy, which is probably very helpful.
Right.
But overall, I can feel the tension in my shoulders has lifted and I feel the sense of peace and calm.
Okay. And anyone else? Do we still have people who are awake?
Yeah, this is Lisa. Since working with you, I have slowly been releasing tension through my chest, my sternum, and my throat center. And it feels very free when I connect in this way. It's very liberating and feels like a large burden is released. And I wish I could speak like this all the time.
You'll get there. You will. We're setting in this experience now, and your being will keep coming back to it. It sets a compass point for something that you know aligns with you. And when something like that happens, your being tends to do everything it can to get you back there. Okay, anyone else? Do we still have people here?
I'm still here. I'm just processing.
Don't think. Don't think.
Sorry. I know. I tried. I'm saving.
Oh, don't think. So speak from within. Speak. Okay.
I was just overwhelming. I had a lot of tingles in my different parts of my body and just thinking about the universe. I've been thinking about it a lot, but yeah, just the universe.
Okay. You weren't really thinking. You were experiencing the universe.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyone else?
This is Elena.
Hi.
I was nodding off a lot actually during that. And my head was sort of bobbing. And I think I just gave myself permission to be exhausted or acknowledge how exhausted I feel a lot of the time.
That's something. Go ahead.
There's a lot more space now, I think, in having given myself that permission, it feels like.
Good for you. It's exhausting being on the earth right now.
Yes, it is.
Okay, so this meditation will be part of the class recording. So you'll be able to use it during the week because it was tailored specifically for the group. So it'd be a good one to use. You still don't have to pop out, just stay in there and practice. Kind of sharing space with other people while still being within your being. Now, from this place, you can journey in many different dimensions and different types of meditations, if you like. And if you do kind of go beyond the body and, let's say, into a more expanded state beyond the body, or even leave the body, you have tended to the body in a way that the body really appreciates. And so that when you do go out of body or expand into higher realms beyond, your body is not going to be pulling you back. It's not going to be feeling abandoned or having pains or tensions that would interrupt your deeper experience. And there is a sense that when we leave the body, if we haven't tended to it well, there's a sense of abandonment that the body has. And when we tend to the body and our experience of being connected to the earth and the cosmos this way, the body knows, the body consciousness knows that it's been well tended. So I don't, this is, this can be, you know, the goal of your meditation to get to this state, or it could be that you use this state to propel yourself into even deeper states. You can go through portals from here. You can merge with the light and the Pleiadian dimensions and the Arcturian dimensions and all types of different states of consciousness all the way to the divine. But this sets you up so that when you do go into those expansions, you come back integrated, and it's not separate. Your body has been included. It's ready to receive what you receive from the higher dimensions, and it welcomes you back in a way that doesn't feel polarized. It's like, oh, I left my body, and the body was just a clump of clay. It's not, it's a consciousness. And when I come back, I want to be able to use the wisdom that I came in contact with and bring that higher wisdom, higher compassion back with me. And this helps that process become manifest in your daily life. Okay, any questions at this point? Comments?
I think we're going to all have good sleep tonight.
I think so too.
Yeah, I'm tired.
Okay, this is a good time to come to a close. So anything else before we say goodnight to each other?
My body is really happy to be included, intended.
Yes. Wonderful. So sweet dreams, sweet visions, sweet enlightenment, and we'll meet next week again. Okay?
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.